Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Oh, yeah. And this week, we are going to talk about the, this is a hard one to pronounce, the Vasin-Shcherbakov theory that the moon is artificial.
Oh, yeah. And, all right.
And we're sipping some Sierra Nevada on a beautiful, cloudy Saturday. And I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to be here. I have a garden party happening in my backyard right now.
You're missing it a little bit.
Which is fine. I've been in that yard for two days straight, cleaning it up.
This is normally the hellebores are out, but are they not as vibrant this?
Oh, they're vibrant.
Okay, because walking in, I didn't see as many as
I'm also a bad gardener.
Oh.
So they don't come back.
I also haven't done as many drugs as I've sometimes done.
Usually we're just ripped at this thing.
Yeah, usually it's like,
It's the mushrooms that show you the colors. It's not.
That's true. Well, and if you like that kind of conversation, you should check out the Patreon because we delve more into our habits and
and the things that we should not talk about
on this public app. It's a few bucks a month.
$5 a month, you get an extra episode every week, which is pretty damn good if you ask me, because right now this is free.
And yeah.
It's same as this, but better.
And I'm glad we're doing it. I mean, it's I love it. I love the interaction that we get to have with our patrons. We just can't interact with all of you.
No.
There's too many of you.
Yeah.
So that's how you get some love.
And we're going to be hopping on Rockfin as well. We're doing Patreon and Rockfin. We'll give you more information about that. That'll be $10 a month, but you'll get a ton of content from that. Check it out.
And we are excited this week to talk. I think it's one of my favorite conspiracy theories, and it's great because we get to talk about it with a self-proclaimed skeptic, the very funny New York comic in town in Raleigh, North Carolina at Good Nights, is Sean Murphy.
Hey. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
This is your, we were talking on the drive over, this is your fifth or sixth time
I think
in
it's, Raleigh? Yes.
Yeah, so
good night regular.
You're nice. You're regular. Yeah, I've seen you. You've worked with some folks, but this time you're headlining the upstairs room, I caught the show last night. It's very funny.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
And but you're usually in New York City.
Yes, sir. From Buffalo, live in New York City in Queens.
Nice. Yeah.
And you, when I talked to you last night, you said you generally skeptical about conspiracies.
I think because in general I am a gullible person, so I've tried to go the other way to even it out.
Right.
You know, like are either of you sports people?
No.
I am, but in weird okay. sports.
Because okay. like, so I'm a football person, right? And every, you know, August in the lead up to the season, there'll be all these articles about like the fourth string quarterback. And they'll be like, he's putting in the work, you know, he's been training all off season. And then I'm like, this guy's going to be really good. And then he'll get in the preseason, he'll throw 8 interceptions. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
So you buy into the hype every...
Yeah, but I know my brain works like that. So I try and counteract it because, you know, like if you came on right now and you're like, you know, soap makes you dirty, I'd be like, dude, really? Like, so like my brain immediately goes there. So I got to try and fight against
it. Is that a regional thing? Do you think Buffalo people, because it's... Buffalo has a reputation as being a hard scrabble kind of place to grow up.
Yeah.
Do you think the people are a little jaded and desperate for like some kind of hope, or do you think it's
I could see that, especially because I mean the sports teams for most of my life have been bad with the occasional good teams, and then they would lose heartbreakingly. So I think in order to get through, you got to be like, well, next year is our year.
Yeah, it's just a faith-based community.
Yes.
That's like,
do the people think that there's a conspiracy against, like, the Bills? Like when the Patriots were dominant, do they just feel like...
There is definitely a community of people who think that, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially because that was, like... There was a famous, at least in Buffalo, moment in the X-Files where
the smoking guy
says, like, you know, we were behind the moon landing and the Bills not winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, like, I think there are people that believe that. And especially, like, Tom Brady and the Patriots had a bunch of scandals. So, like, a bunch of people are like, you know, they're cheaters.
Sure.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, yeah. Do you hear, like, they'll never let us win a championship? Do
that people that say does exist. Because that, especially some of the bigger Buffalo sports meltdowns were officiating related.
Related, yes. Oh, yes. We've talked a little bit about this, but, you know, Shane is not, I'm not a huge NFL fan. We have covered some sports things, but there are some particularly glaring officiating calls that lend themselves to a really big conspiracy.
There are, well, I mean, a lot of people this year were convinced it was going to be Bucks Patriots Super Bowl. But again, that's where the anti-conspiracy part of my brain goes, like, it's like, yeah, they would love that. And instead it was Rams Bengals. Like, so, like, if there was a conspiracy, like, why would it, are they bad at doing their conspiracies? Or, like, I just think most of the time it's just dumb people, inept people. How many people, we were just talking before we recorded, how many people are just kind of, like, bad at their jobs?
Right.
And I think it's more easy for me to believe that, like, oh, this person is just, you know, this flyer jet person is dumb, as opposed to, oh, he saw a UFO. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, the first thing is just way more easy for me to believe.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a good segue to our topic today, because knowing that you were a skeptical person, which I like, and I think that we come at conspiracies from a skeptical point of view. Like, conspiracy theories for us were always been about asking tough questions and not necessarily accepting the standard explanation for something. And at one point, we were covering the fake moon landing, which is a very common conspiracy. And it's been debunked in a lot of ways, but in doing so, I stumbled across a related conspiracy that is really old. It's 50 years old, and it comes from two Russian scientists, which is where it gets the name, the Vasin-Shcherbakov theory.
Okay.
And in 1970, they published an article in a Russian journal called Sputnik, which, don't let that very official sounding name confuse you, because I looked kind of like, what's the reputation of Sputnik at the magazine, and it's like, was like Russia's Reader's Digest.
It's like full of Russian Family Circle cartoons. It's like dashed lines running around old Russian territories trying to, like, find old, his way old home.
Nuclear meltdown sites.
Yeah. So already right off the bat, I think 1970, like, I mean, people were still thought cigarettes were good for you.
Right now we're starting off.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, and you know, I think that one of the things that we have learned in this podcast is that Russian scientists and Russians are masters of disinformation. And so some people have said this was all just another disinformation campaign. Mm. Because what they like to do is, like, they like to make Americans think they had found aliens or something, so that it would just create panic or fear or something like that.
What percentage do you think of all the conspiracies you went through, there has to be at least a couple of them who started it, know it's bullshit, and are just at home, like, you know, like, online, like, can you believe these people? So, the person who doesn't even buy into the conspiracy with their name attached to it.
Sure.
I mean,
it must be one of those things where, like, I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience as comedians, but, like, we write together with local guys, and every once in a while you give somebody a tag or a part of a joke, and it just kills. And, like, in your head, you want to be like, I wrote
that. Yeah, that was mine.
You want to tell people, but you really can't, because it's not cool to be like, no. Yeah, you know that joke?
But we do that in the back of the room. We're like, that was mine.
There's some guy just in his basement, like, I gave that guy flat.
I got no credit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like somebody who just created a widely believed conspiracy theory.
Well, there's also that
no
thing
credit
that I'm sure you guys know. I don't know the name of it, but isn't there that thing that's like, for a conspiracy theory, it becomes less likely over time because the possibility that someone like would tell the secret would come out. Like if you came out with the Bigfoot conspiracy today, it's different than if it came out 50 years ago because you have people looking for him for 50 years.
Right.
So
right,
like
right.
the chances of him existing becomes exponentially less possible. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's also a game of telephone, right? So it's like all the stuff that we think none of this, it's just a hazy water of stuff that none of it's true, probably. It's just maybe one right. piece of it is, but right. it's gotten so twisted over the years. That,
and you know, and to make it even more complicated, the things that probably are true, and this is a fact, the CIA engages in lots of disinformation, mm-hmm. soft disclosures. They've written entire Hollywood scripts so that like people, when they say, well, isn't that just the plot of that movie? And it makes it seem less believable. And so if you really want to cover a conspiracy theory up, I think what you do is just create confusion about it so that it's always debatable. Mm-hmm. You know, and people will, you know, on both sides of that, they'll promote the conspiracy and they'll also promote the debunking of it so that it's just lost in this sort of
and
way.
And then people can be like, look at those idiots.
But the 1970 conspiracy by these two Russian scientists, which was published in a article that called "Is the Moon the Creation of Alien Intelligence?" would inspire a...
What a headline.
Yeah, yeah, great one, right?
Yeah. That's a good New Year's Digest.
It spurned a like since then 50 years of alternative thinking about the moon. And there's a great book that came out years later called Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon, which really does a nice job of cataloging all the data that they've collected over the years. And it's been added to since that book came out that explain why the conventional view of the moon is not satisfactory, which if you don't know, like the if you look up where did the moon come from, they think a Mars-sized something crashed into Earth. Part of it broke off to become the moon. And then some of whatever that was stayed on Earth. And so that some of our land mass, so to speak, is from the same catastrophic event. And that's the theory. And people are like, that's absolutely not true.
Have you guys dived into this? What's the hard-on for the moon?
I don't know.
Like, I must be tied into the space race and everything, but why isn't there like, hey, Neptune isn't real? Why is it all right, about the moon? Yeah. There's nothing about the sun. There's nothing so much is moon related.
I think because we've been able to set foot on quotes there. You know, I think there's enough research about it where
it's also much closer than everything else. But we've only been there, nine times? I get them confused. I think we've been there 9 times, and we've stepped foot on them 6. Okay. Now, China has been there. Russia's been there. China just went to the dark side of the moon.
Yeah. They just found some glass balls on the surface.
Yeah, like, historic. But
crazy.
Even despite that we've been there, we've taken samples, we've done tests and all that stuff, we know very, very little about the moon. Mm. And what this theory puts out is that what we do know about the moon makes absolutely no sense. So let's talk about some of the things that make no sense. First, the moon is our moon is enormous. Relative to the Earth, it is like 25% the size of our Earth, which makes it the largest moon in the known solar system and then therefore the known galaxy, because we really can't see moons on other planets because they're too far away. We don't know. We've never really, like, moons of this size, the size of our moon, they're like orbiting Jupiter and Neptune, the largest planets in our solar system.
Does that make the moon small or Earth? Or does that make the moon big or Earth small?
It means proportionally.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Like Mars has moons, but they're tiny little moons that zip around.
Right.
Like this idea of a giant quarter size of your Earth moon that slowly goes like on a 28-day perfectly circular orbit. It's just nowhere seen.
Right.
Anywhere
we need to make the moon smaller to make us look bigger.
It's
like a cube situation.
It is.
You gotta trim that thing. Shave it down a little bit. You're like, oh, so it's pretty big.
Yeah, that's why we deforest. So it makes our Earth look bigger.
It also, like, moons, our moon has a tremendous gravitational effect on our planet. We all know this.
Yeah, with the tides.
Directly responsible
from the moon.
It is extremely, extremely rare anywhere that we've seen that a planet has a moon that's so large that it can actually exert that much effect on its base planet. It's very rare. Now, one of the things that's peculiar, though, is that the Earth, I mean, relative size-wise, it's 25% the size. But in terms of its mass, the moon has no mass, which is it explains the problem of, like, why would a moon so big be stuck to our planet,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's gravitational pull from Mars, Jupiter, other places that is much stronger.
Right.
But it's essentially 1.2% of our mass. Like, so it's extremely light, which is really, really weird. And they've done samples. The density of the surface is like, it's basically like almost empty inside.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't understand why it's so dense. The core, is very, very small. We've never seen a body in the solar system or in the universe that has a core, a solid core, as small as what we have in the moon. And they can measure this. I don't know how they do it.
I think they use sound waves, right? So I know they've crashed things on the moon to measure sound waves, and then they see how fast it comes back.
Yes, and we're going to talk about those crashes here in a second. The craters of the moon. You guys have seen the craters on the moon. Have you ever noticed anything bizarre about the craters?
I have, but I'm also into this.
Have you? No, I have not.
Okay. Well, obviously, the craters are from impact of things that just hit the moon, because the moon does not have the atmosphere that the Earth has, which burns those things up. So it just gets hit all the time by things. No matter how big the thing that hits it, all the craters are the exact same depth. So you would think, I mean, the normal theory is that you would have craters that would, the harder the impact, the deeper the crater would be. But the craters get wider, but they get only a certain depth.
Yeah.
And some of them...
Sounds like Stanley Kubrick's
talking, doesn't it? I know, right? You should have thought of that.
Some of them are actually convex.
Oh.
So if something would hit and it would actually bulge out, which people are like, that makes no sense. No. Any understanding of physics. These are all parts of the theory. Now...
But those things are actual facts.
What these guys did is, like, here are all the facts we know.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense. What does it all mean?
Right.
And that gets. Right. They have found minerals on the moon that also make no sense, like titanium. The weirdest ones are like brass. They found brass ore on the moon, which you're probably thinking, what's weird about that? Well, brass.
It's an alloy, right?
It's man-made.
Right.
Right. It doesn't occur naturally. Mm. We found uranium and neptunium.
Mm, weird.
Which are Neptune. Isotopes not found on the Earth.
Mm.
And these are things that we can only make, you know, through science. These don't naturally occur, which begs the question, well, how would they occur naturally on the moon if we don't know how they naturally occur here. They just don't.
Could the supposed collision with another astral body somehow be able to make brass? Could you make an alloy by a bunch of metals slamming into each other and then make little brass babies?
We always get in this place where we realize how dumb we are. We're like, I don't even really know what brass is.
I mean, brass, was it steel and copper? I don't know. It's something like that.
You just melt a couple metals together and make something that
Armstrong brought his, you know, pocket full of Neptunium up.
He's like,
there.
This will throw him up.
You know, tripped and all fell out of his pocket.
That's
some of the rocks they found are magnetic, which is incredibly bizarre. Again, I don't quite understand magnetism, but our Earth's core has a magnetic property, which has led to
keeps us alive. Yeah. Without our magnetosphere, we don't have an atmosphere.
Right. But the moon has no magnetic power. Mm-hmm. Its core is not magnetic. So, like, how would magnetic rocks be on a body that doesn't have magnetism? Now, the conventional answer is, well, because there was a shared thing that crashed into the Earth and then made the moon and then had some impact on the Earth. But these scientists, this conspiracy theory, they're like, there's a huge problem with that theory. The Earth is about 4.5 billion years. That's how old our solar system is, 4.5 billion years. Mm-hmm. The Earth, the rock on the Earth dates back to 3.5 billion years. They have dated rocks on the moon that are 5 or 6 billion years old.
Hmm.
So the moon is older than our Earth.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Because the idea was that it was a shared sort of catastrophe that created both. But this one's much, much older. I mean, to me, that might be the biggest of the red flags.
Yeah, that's weird. Either that's some bad science or something's up.
Well, also, there's a weird phenomena when things land on the moon. And now what they've done is they've put devices to measure the moon when it's hit by an asteroid. So when the Apollo 12 crashed intentionally, a lunar probe into the moon. I assume that just means they just dropped it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he just.
Just crashed something in. They said it reverberated like a bell for hours. And then they were like, well, that's weird. So now they've put these things inside the moon so when an asteroid hits, they can listen to it. And there are like, they every time something hits, it rings like a bell for a long time.
Would either of you go to the moon?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I'd go to the moon. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, if there's like if there's a good truck stop or something, like I'm not just like going up there with nothing. Like I'm waiting for him to establish something up there. But one day, would you?
No, I don't even like roller coasters.
I'm
not gonna go to the goddamn moon.
What if they could just teleport you without any rocket ships?
Yeah.
I would be more willing. Well, I want to see how good the teleportation right. is. But if provided the teleportation is safe, I would consider that.
You go in a human and come out a hamburger at the truck stop on the moon?
Yeah. All to see the moon.
NASA says that the moon can't be empty, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this Bell theory promoted, this is another sort of adjacent theory called the hollow moon theory, because people, when they heard the bell, they're like, well, it's hollow. And they're like, it can't be hollow because we've done these tests and there's stuff in there.
I like the idea. I've heard the hollow earth theory. Oh, yeah. And I love the idea of like someone being really into hollow earth. They like, it's disproven. And they go, well, okay, fine. But like the moon is hollow. Well, okay, fine. The moon, but like Mars is definitely hollow. We can all agree.
Yeah. There's no proof that it's not.
Well, but I think what this conspiracy theory sharply points out is that there is a big difference between hollow and empty. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a hollow tree that's not empty at all because something has taken up residence within it.
Right.
So when the NASA
maybe
says...
Maybe like a giant spider.
Yeah,
I'm starting a new spider. I'm starting a new conspiracy. giant spider in the moon.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, the craters aren't going in because the spider's pushing them back out.
This is
going
to be huge in 10 years. And you'd be like, I was the guy that said that.
I can't even take credit for it.
I want credit for a giant spider in the moon. I'm saying it here first.
That's right. When NASA says it's not empty, we know that. That doesn't mean it's not hollowed out and then has something inside of it.
Like the World Trade Center was a hollow building, but it had people.
That's cold.
I mean, I'm just saying it was
a spin. It's like
it was an architectural marvel.
We struck hollow buildings in the United States. We did not.
Right. Yeah.
They were hollow.
They were hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look them up online. They're pretty interesting.
Where you can see where this theory is ending up, which is that since 1970, when this theory was first posited, is that what we have is a shell, a metallic shell made up of advanced metal alloys, some that we don't even know how to make and we've never seen before. I think like titanium, which is pretty rare on Earth, like. There is so much more titanium on the moon than there is anywhere on Earth, and in concentrations that are just baffling.
Yeah, we got to get up there so I can get my chips for my cars I want to order and my computers.
I mean, that's probably why, like, if we get to the moon anytime in the next 15, 20 years, Bezos and Musk, they're just there to mine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be just a giant eyesore of a...
Well, what they can do is there's a thing called oxygen 3. It's basically in the soil, and they'd split that to create oxygen on the moon. So there's enough oxygen tied up with another oxygen element. They just have to split it. They can just make billions on that. It's crazy.
Wait, what? Billions on oxygen? Mm-hmm. We're running low on oxygen?
No, we're not running low, but you'll need oxygen on the moon.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, there is no way that anything gets built on the moon in terms of something that people would want to go to that is at all desirable.
You tell me a space brothel wouldn't take off?
No, it would. I'm just saying if they build something, it's going to be like worse than Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
but how much would you pay to see the giant spider?
A lot. Yeah. Right. To me, like Vegas, Dubai, cultures have this thing where like, let's just build an insane playground in a desert and some.
Oh, yeah. So for sure, the moon would be Vegas.
Yeah, it would be really.
I'm not going to the moon unless, you know, Moon Comedy Club.
Yeah. What's their buffet like?
Yeah. It's Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it would be a giant cruise ship where you just go and there's everything there and there's malls.
Because
and,
no matter what you think of like Musk, Bezos, all these people, I don't imagine they're great or would tie into like very smart, forward thinking, like city planners.
Right.
It's going to be like,
it's
going to be just like base horseshit.
Yeah, it is. Right. Yeah, it's not going to be high end architecture that takes into account the local landscape and blends in. It's going to be awful.
Yeah, we need a Frank Lloyd right up there.
That's really funny. Well, they say that the rocky outer layer is a few miles thick, which covers a hole that they have done tests to say that is 20 miles thick. And then between that 20-mile thick shell and then the core, which we know there's a core, a very small core, is empty, a void, a space, which they say is a spaceship.
So they're saying 20 miles of hull?
Spaceship. 20 miles of hull doesn't seem that deep.
What are you talking about? It's solid metal?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Do you know how a hull on a submarine is like? Maybe a foot? I don't even know.
Well, right, but it's not moving from out of our solar system. We talk about deep ocean travel, and the problem is that the pressurization is just too great for us to spend much time down there. But if you're talking about moving through space.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah. But yet we just, I don't know. I love arguing about hypotheticals, but we send stuff up there that's just a sheet of metal, and it's fine. Like the James Webb Telescope has like 7 layers of just super thin metal uses.
But who's living inside of there?
Science.
No, I mean, it's a biodome.
Yeah, right. You need to survive there for sure. All right, 20 miles.
I think scientists in the 21st century has to be a top three most frustrating job.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you saw it with Fauci, but like, imagine just like someone's like, oh, yeah, the rocks from the moon have told us, and just some idiot's like, what about the spaceship in the middle? And you're like, I gotta explain this to you now. Like, and you just gotta constantly like, you're kind of whack-a-moling like weird things that come up, and you're like, I'm trying to do my job with these rock shit. Yeah. I can't be talking about the spider again in the middle of the moon. Like,
it's like, come on. Well, yeah, it's got to be really tough. I can't imagine. Yeah.
I also, the core, by the way, they say is an energy source that powers the entire thing.
I would hope.
And they say that it was placed where it was placed by design. So it wasn't just sort of a typical space collision, that there's actually some real science as to why that spaceship is where it is and was brought here by intelligent life.
Right. It's in a perfect spot. And there's no way a collision would put it in the perfect spot.
It is. When we say perfect spot, it is the size of the moon, its density, its location, its orbital pattern are all absolutely perfect for helping life sustain on our Earth. So here's an example: you know, we, our Earth is tilted and it spins, and as it as it's spinning, it sort of wobbles a bit. And if the moon were not there, the Earth would wobble. It wobbles about a degree every 1,000 years. It changes. The tilt changes. Without the moon, scientists say it would probably wobble up to 85%.
Oof, that's making me sick.
And
you don't like roller coasters.
Yeah, yeah.
Move to the moon.
Yeah.
Well, what it would mean is that roughly every 1,000 years, the places on our planet where you could live and grow, like food to sustain life, would completely change.
Right. It's like the Sahara had less than 2,000 years ago. It was lush. The Sahara was a forest. But if that now it's a desert. If we had a degree like that,
right,
you would have a desert one day and a forest, and it would just
It would just be
constant disaster.
Yeah, you would not be able to sustain. The Earth's tilt is also somewhat perfect in terms of it allows the longest growing season of any possible tilt of the entire sphere. And then the moon's size is perfectly sized so that it can create a total solar eclipse, which is extremely, never found another example of this, where when the moon passes from the sun, it's perfectly sized to sort of block the sun out.
Yeah, and it's not like the moon is blocking it by a ton on each side. It's like, no, it's like
perfect. It's
like
perfectly sized, and it's like whoever placed it, like, had done the calculations on where it needs to be to sort of track on this. It also passes on an orbital, a circular orbit, which is extreme. I mean, almost everything does an elliptical orbit. But the moon is one of the very few celestial bodies anywhere that we've ever found that has a perfectly circular orbit. It also is frozen, so it doesn't rotate on its own, which, again, extremely, extremely rare. Yeah. And if the moon did rotate, it would have a completely different gravitational pull on us, and the tides would be completely different. We would have much more severe tides. It's like everything about it suggests that it was engineered perfectly, right? Because if it were heavier, we may not be able to sustain it in our gravity, so that the mass of it is just right. The size of it is very important. And so it does all these things that just sort of seem like, and this is the whole theory, like, that's not, there's too many things in there that are not, that don't happen to make it just a coincidental thing.
Yeah, Goldilocks.
I mean, in some ways, if I were asked by NASA, I'd be like,
we'll wait for the call.
No, but I would say you guys are looking for Goldilocks planets. Mm-hmm. Go look for Goldilocks planets that have a moon like ours. Mm. Because if this theory is correct, what it means is that some advanced life form, and this is probably the part that makes the most sense to me, that someone was like looking for potential planets to grow life on, which is honestly what we're doing right now.
Right. Yeah.
And if they found one and they're like, this is a really good candidate, it's got great atmosphere, it needs a few things, and we could make this work, then they would design a moon much like we have, and they would transport it to that planet, maybe tilt the planet a little bit, and then fix the moon just in the perfect orbit, and then let it go. And then whether there's people inside of it, we can talk more about that. But that's the gist of this Russian theory from 1970.
Okay.
Yeah, you bought in yet?
You're like, fuck this. It's too much going on.
What don't you like about it?
Oh, boy.
let me unpack.
Well, I think there's a lot of... there's a lot of interesting facts about the moon. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't think that, you know... Like, because there are times when people are like, can you believe that isn't it perfect that the Earth does this and the moon does this? It's like, yeah, this is all like, it's crazy to me that humans are here.
Yeah,
it's crazy to me that we can talk, that we're, my ancestors made it somehow. Yeah, yeah. Like all of that is crazy. But so in that sense, yeah, but that doesn't.
That
prove anything exceptional other
except
than...
Except that life is
very, very, very exceptional and strange.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the number of planets in our solar system that we know about is incredible. Mm-hmm. The number of planets we know about outside of our solar system, and we haven't found anything remotely as obvious as life as we know it here.
Right.
So I understand that. I do find it bizarre that when we look at, like, we've talked about this a lot. Ancient cultures have mythologies that are probably, you know, creation stories, mm-hmm. like most cultures have. Some of them start to sound like interactions with intelligent life. When you look at them, you know, in a different mm-hmm. way, where it's like, you know, the Sumerians and stuff had encounters with sort of flying saucer-like creatures that came down, and the Anunnaki would show up in various places. There seem to be these interactions. And there's like a Zulu legend, I think, that describes the moon as an egg that came to the earth and then cracked open and released a deluge of water onto the earth, which there is a lot of history of a catastrophic flood like you hear in Noah.
Right.
It probably happened to some degree.
Yeah.
But they claim that the water was transported here via the moon, which then opened, which is interesting because there's a great debate about whether there's water on the moon.
Rocks, I think there is, right? Didn't they discover there was?
But NASA has claimed that it's not really it's not from the moon. It's either come from exterior places. Although astronauts have reported, like, we're seeing like vapor mist. It's almost like there's like a steam.
Aliens vape.
like a steam. No, what is those places called where you vape at all the young hipsters do it.
I don't know. Do they go to a specific place?
What are those?
Hookah bar. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's not vaping. That's hookahing.
Hookahing. Is that not the same?
No.
What is hookah then?
Hookah is tobacco.
Well, vaping is.
Yeah, but vaping is different. Like, hookah is smoke.
It's smoke.
Yeah, it's like a bong rip.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boy, do I feel dumb.
Yeah.
You should. I didn't.
The most my mind has been blown this podcast is like, I'm like, is hookah vaping? I was like, whoa.
I thought it was the same. I thought like,
no.
Like, no. I thought vaping was like, let's figure out how to get hookah to the masses.
No,
like,
not at all. You can
hookah anywhere.
Not at all. No, a hookah is a water pipe, and they put tin foil or aluminum foil on the top, put charcoal briquettes and tobacco.
And then you pull through the water pipe. Oh, so it's a bong. It's a bong.
It's a water pipe. It's a bong. Yeah, it's a bong for tobacco, which I can't even imagine smoking that much tobacco. Like,
why is it associated with like a sort of Middle Eastern culture? Is that where
they invented it?
They invented it.
Mm-hmm.
Bonging too? Is the bong?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who invented the bong, but you know, good for them.
Yeah,
they're at the back of a comedy club going, "I invented it." but tell you what, if you buy a hookah in India and you bring it back, boy, they will give you a tough time at customs.
Oh, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's an empty hookah.
Yeah, they're like, "What's this for?" I was like, "Smoking." They're like, "Yeah, what are you smoking out of that?" It's like tobacco.
Hookah.
Yeah, I'm smoking hookah.
What meanwhile, you can fly with hookah. Weed. Is hookah the
it's the device, I think.
The device is called a hookah. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably become a verb, too. Like bonging, bong.
Does anyone say bonging?
Bong, I mean, beer.
Oh, but that's just, I'm going to beer bong.
Beer.
Yeah. I don't know. Boy, tell you what.
We're an English pod now.
I would say bonging, but that's the least cool person in the world.
Hey, we're bonging in here, kids?
This is a bonging party?
I heard some cool people were bonging in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hypodermic needling here? What are we doing? What kind of party is this?
Well, I want to just make sure that we understand that this theory, right, which is 50 years old. Yeah, 50 years old. Has never been outright rejected by NASA or any scientist.
Right.
And that's not to say that it's therefore it's true. It's to say that, like, we don't really know.
They're busy. They don't got time to reject on doing real science.
Can I get a round of applause, everyone? All right, get on my hands. We all know how essential the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is for that precise trim below the waist. Their advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts to your most delicate areas. But now you can enhance your perfect grooming routine with their ultra-premium collection. This package includes Manscaped Premium Deodorant, not for your balls, for your stanky armpits. It dries clear, it's aluminum-free, and it smells like their signature scent. Hydrating body moisturizer? Have tattoos or issues with dry skin? Well, this is designed to keep your skin feeling clean, smooth, and smelling fresh. Body wash to lather you up with their infused aloe vera and sea salt shower gel. 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner to clean your scalp with one easy step. Plus, a free gift. A 3-pack set of lip balm that's made up with ingredients such as vitamin E, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil to keep those chappers feeling moist. That's 4 products. Plus, a gift is inside the Ultra Premium Collection. What a score. All these products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, vegan-friendly, and dye-free. The best ingredients with zero compromise. I'd recommend using the products in this order. Hop in the shower and scrub-a-dub-dub that body with the Manscaped Body Wash. 2, lather up your hair with a 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner to keep your noggin toggin. 3, dry off and spray the hydrating body moisturizer to reinvigorate your dry skin. 4, put on that Manscaped deodorant for obvious reason, because you stink. 5, pop that Manscaped lip balm on your lips. No one is out there kissing chapped up lips. Getting dressed after is optional. Wear one great scent all day long. Get that ultra premium collection hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. The power of attraction is now in a bottle, thanks to Manscaped.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to that, that you know, it's like, do I want to prove that the moon is hollow and that it was flown here by, you know, outer space, which is probably not possible to prove, or do I want to just like figure out how old these moon rocks are and at least get a paper published so I can keep my job?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and too, it's like, it's one of those things, like your colleagues, if you like, I got to talk about this spaceship moon thing, like your colleagues would be like, George, come on. Like, you know, like,
well, that's like, what's his name? Avi Loeb, that thinks that Onamuna, what is that thing called? That space rock that flew by a couple years ago?
Umamawano.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, that's just a rock flew by us. He's like, it's clearly a alien spaceship. And so everyone in the community has been a real asshole to him. But he's like, listen, you have no proof that it's just a rock. It's behaving because it actually traveled super fast into our solar system and then took a hard left or a hard right and left.
It moved.
It didn't follow a normal orbital path. Right. It was like, I'm going to go this way now. And so he's like, that's a spaceship. And everyone's like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But people like us are like, I like this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that.
Well, and as you said earlier, it's like the institutions have lied to us, you know. So it's like you get where conspiracies come from, and you kind of wish that, like, it's like, man, if you know the CIA wasn't trying to, like, you know, fuck up MLK and you know, do MK Ultra and all other shit, you'd be like, you would probably have less conspiracies out there because people would be a little bit more willing to trust you.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do get where the, you know, ideas like that come from, and like, so, yeah, you think when you hear that, you're like, well, how many of these people even, you know, did they look into this thing to see that it was 100% a space rock? Or did they and go like, they don't need to know? So it's like, I get where those, the inkling of that comes from.
Sure.
But it's also like, it's such a dangerous middle ground because there's a million conspiracies, and if you're trying to get shit done, you can't just be talking to, like, going to, like, the dumbest 100 people in America and be like, well, this is why this is not this, and this is why this is, like,
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, I think, is that I always wonder, like, if this conspiracy were true, what would be the long-term or even short-term implications to just sort of culture? In other words, like, If NASA came out tomorrow and was like, okay, we've known for some time that the moon was hollow, and we haven't told you because we wanted to make sure that we weren't somehow going to awaken some hostile enemy that could just destroy us.
That's another good point of like, as sometimes dumb and not honest as the government could be, sometimes it's like people shouldn't know.
Yeah, there's a reason
to things.
Yeah.
Or even as even minor than that, there could be things of like, oh, we think this thing, but like, let's be 100% before we tell you. Hey, we're 60% sure the sun's going to die tomorrow. Like, we'd check into it.
Yeah. And I think when I think about this, you know, NASA came out and said, we now realize that the moon is an engineered celestial body by some intelligent, like it's not, what it didn't occur through natural means. And what does that mean
right.
for everyday life? Like to me, like I'm nothing changes right. tomorrow.
Right.
I think there are people, and some of those people have a lot of power. It would change. Like how does a preacher go into church tomorrow if the news comes out today that the moon was not created by God?
But I think all that thing, you see this in like a couple things like, a couple years ago, that Flat Earth documentary, I think it was on Netflix. Yeah. Like it just amazing how people flip where they go, oh, you can actually see the horizon. And they're going, yeah, but I mean, that's not like it's very easy. Oh, right, like, right.
Yeah,
there's that me and my,
God engineered the moon. He put it there. This is what we've been saying.
Like, my girlfriend and I, we haven't finished the show yet, but I don't know if any of you have seen The Leftovers. Great show on HBO. And the premise is basically, based on a novel, 2% of the population disappears. No one knows why.
Oh, is it like Left Behind, that Christian book?
It's basically like a non-Christian.
Like a good version of it?
No, I think it's a reverse version. Because I think in Left Behind, if I remember correctly from working at a bookstore, I think all the good people go to heaven.
Yeah.
And then the earth is just a wasteland of sinners and stuff like that. I think that's the premise.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I think in the...
You say anything at those kinds of shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the best. There's no PC mob after us now. Yeah, they're actually like, they get mad when you don't use slurs.
Use the N-word more, buddy. Yeah,
it's like, okay.
Man, this world sucks. We didn't know how good we had it. Yeah, exactly. We lied. In The Leftovers... just 2% random of the population disappears and no one knows why. And they go into a lot of like different like religions start and different. And you could see like different, you know, people were like, oh, this is like, you know, the good people went to heaven. And then so many people be like, but my, you know, husband beat me. He was an asshole. It's like, yeah, but he was secret. Like the grift will always continue.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
if there's one thing I know about America or the world in general, it's like the people will find a way to keep the grift going.
Totally.
You can see that with like Trump people, with religious people. Like it's just they very easily pivot with. I mean, how many people have been like, the world's going to end tomorrow and it doesn't, and they're like, oh, I got my calculations wrong. Right. Stick with me. It's going to be another 2 years. I'm like, okay, got his calculations wrong.
Yep. You know, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. I think for a good portion of people, it would just confirm biases they've already got.
Yeah.
And the preacher the next day would just immediately claim that, well, who could make this moon?
Yeah.
Only God himself.
You got to pivot. Like if you're about to lose power, you got to pivot to what you think the people want.
Yeah.
That's just how the world works.
You know, this is all conjecture and speculation and more the traditional conspiracy type fodder is that, there's lots of reports of interactions with alien life on the moon that have come from like actual astronauts who've gone on the moon. Buzz Aldrin claimed that they saw alien craft and
there's been times when there's NASA tapes where it's like, oh, the visitors are back.
Yeah.
That's legit in the transcript.
Yeah. And there's you said glass there. Somebody, they found what looked like to be like an alien soda bottle. They're like, where did this come from?
Which is crazy. It's free.
It's probably just was like a Russian like soft drink they had never heard of. But like in their minds, they were like, what is this doing on the moon? Like we're the first people here.
Yeah.
But I mean, during that space race and even now, there always was a little bit of secrecy about what you were doing on the moon. Mm. I mean, the most palpable version of the moon landing was fake was that we faked it, that video, because we were in a space race that we were going to lose. So we made it seem like we did land on the moon. We just didn't land on it in that video. Stanley Kubrick made that and then spend the rest of his career admitting it silently. And do you know that theory?
I know the Kubrick theory, but I don't know a ton about it. I just basically know in general people think Kubrick faked the moon landing on a soundstage.
Yes. And then he felt so much remorse, or at least he felt like he had been a pawn for the Illuminati that had him do it, that he just left clues in the rest of his movies. Right. Of
yes,
just
there's
like,
that Shining documentary, yes, which yeah. is very good.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that Room 4? What was it called? I can't remember.
Yeah. Was it 2? 236?
Something like that. 227. It was a great 80s
We're
sitcom.
Moving on up.
Yeah, yeah. I love that show.
But that's like, it's like you watch that and very fun documentary, but you go like, man, just the it's the confirmation bias, the thing people are willing to believe right. and how they're willing to pivot to things that you're just like, yeah, you start to be like, God, I hope I don't do that in my own life.
Yeah.
Or if I do, I hope it's like silly, like a sports thing where you're just like,
yeah.
you know, Shane's playing quarterback for yep. my team. He can do it. I've seen him throw. He's okay. At least I have that in silly stuff and not right, just yeah. like, because it's almost, it's like, darkly fun in a way, but also kind of scary where it's just you know, people see rug patterns and like, no, this is Kubrick saying mm-hmm. that he, and it's just like, dude, I don't like, you know, there's even interviews where you talk to the, in that documentary where people's like, I don't know, I found the rug at like a garage sale
exactly,
and I
yeah.
put it in the thing and like,
yeah,
you know,
like,
right, yeah.
dude, that's
yeah.
the thing. Like, I think there was some, convention, it wasn't CPAC, but it was something like that where it was some, Republican convention and the, stage shape they said was a Nazi symbol, and I was like, that's just a guy that built a stage and had no idea, and he's just yeah, lazy yeah. he's like, this makes sense for the space, oh, that's an alt-right symbol, I had no idea mm-hmm. like I'm just that happens all the time in movies, like, oh, they did this, and then I've yeah. worked in film, I worked on TV, and I'm just trying to make a dumb poster for a TV show or a right. movie and put it on the wall, and they see something in it that's, you know, not, or this album cover has this, and it's like, a graphic designer made that.
Yeah,
he got paid shit money mm-hmm. to make that with so many changes.
And he might have thrown a joke in there
yeah,
that made
exactly.
it seem like...
Yeah, he threw dick butt in there, and yeah. he's like, oh my God, this is our Lord.
Don't you think that... And there's a lot of ways this sort of manifests itself, is that... Like, you said you were a skeptic, and I think we come at this with a skeptical mind, but the reason that skepticism is very useful is because you're never really committed to one side or the other. Mm-hmm. So as more information comes out... You don't seem like you've changed your mind necessarily. You're like, well, yeah.
We could never be president because we're not hardline, you know.
And I think that what happens with certain people is that you commit to a position or a belief and you so commit to it, and especially if it like wraps your life up, where to at some point admit that you're wrong.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you see people, and I guess people like this on both sides, but like you couldn't go back on that because it becomes your personality.
Right, right.
Yeah. In a sense that like the idea of you switching sides would be like, well, I got to get new friends. Yeah, I got to get, and it's like,
that's why I can't quit comedy. Because I'm like, but my whole life would change.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I'll show up to a mic once in a while, but God, if I stop, I literally have no friends.
I also think that you become so pot committed to a side, which
yeah,
is
that's
like,
it.
I'm, which I like to think, but here's the thing, I'm skeptic, but I'm also not in the, I don't know, anti-UFO boards being like, these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe, but that's because I don't think there's been to me enough evidence, but like, as you know, like there was that big New York Times thing that came out probably, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe, you know, like, you know, like there are things like that, but we're like, you know, and obviously that's a little bit on the more generous side with the ones like Flat Earth. I'm like, okay, come on, like, give me one shred of something.
I think it's, I think that what eventually happened, and pot committed is such a great word for it. Because, you know, I was thinking in terms of like people invest in a stock and it's clearly crashing and it's they're going to lose all their money. But they're like, well, at this point, I've lost so much. If I'm wrong, I'll just have to just go down with the ship.
Yeah. We've said this before. Conspiracy theories are a pump and dump. It's like you got to like really get people on board because, you know, just get them in there. And then when it's time for you to check out, you're like, well, I made my money. I'm out. I think a lot of times it's that way.
Yeah, they really are. And I come at it from this point of view that like, it's not that I want to be able to be right depending on what happens. It's just that I haven't, there's no evidence out there that tells me that the moon is what they say it is, which is a chunk of a rock that hit us that somehow became the perfect size, broke off, and then slipped into the perfect orbit unlike any other thing. And
well, I'm also a big believer because I've gotten this from being around sports all my life, is that I think people sadly want to be right as opposed to being happy.
Yeah.
I think like in sports, I see that all the time where it'd be like, this quarterback stinks. And then if it turns out that person's good, they'd almost rather live in a world where that's bad and they were right. Remember I said that guy stink? I'm right. Yeah, as opposed to their team being good with the player they thought stunk.
Right.
So like if you could say, and not to pick on Trump people, but it's funny. But if you if you went to like a Trump person and you said like, your life, Trump goes away, but your life with this, the opposite of Trump, you know, improves 40%. Mm-hmm. You know, you make more money. You're on the internet less. Whatever it is. You're happier. But yet everyone agrees, including yourself, that Trump was a mistake. I think a lot of people be like, yeah, but I'd rather risk him being right than me being right, and then I could yell to my neighbor that he was a dumb idiot and I was on top of things.
Yeah.
And I think that that's built into a lot of people's brain, and that's like a tough thing to unlearn. You know?
I wish there was some middle ground where, like 9/11. It's like you either are, this was an inside job and none of it makes sense, or you're like, you're an idiot. This was a terrorist who attacked our country. Whereas like in the middle are like people that are like, I think that it could be a combination of like, there could be middle ground here. Or like there, at least I can be open to evidence that suggests.
Yeah. Like, open to evidence, I think is a good middle ground. It's you know, as we talked earlier, it's tough with conspiracies because, like, one of my most hated people, I think, alive is Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I despise Alex Jones. And he took a very dangerous conspiracy of, like, I mean, the Sandy Hook thing is a thing that's, like, you know, if you think the moon has a giant spider in it, which, of course, it does. We all know this.
We heard it here first.
That doesn't really affect anyone.
Right.
Like even if you got posters in your room with the spider and everyone's, you know, you talk to friends about it, like, even if you're all in on that, you're not really.
Yeah. Who does that hurt?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. But the Sandy Hook thing is just, like, it's so, like, like, it's almost, to me, which is maybe saying a lot, but it's like a, he's like a half a Cosby, where like hear it and you go like, I can't imagine a shittier thing than this. That's sometimes my problem with like almost like real world, you know, like your Benghazis, your 9/11s, where it's just like you could be open to facts that come out, but like the harder you go in a certain way could make you like asshole of the year.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think what's incredibly problematic about it, and we were talking about this off air a little bit, but it's germane now, is that if you are willing to say some of those things, you would find that your listenership or the people that supported you exponentially increased pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like we know there are
finally they have their same voice that we have. Oh, right.
And
again, it's about being right over being happy.
Exactly.
I want to believe used to talk about aliens existing on the X-Files. Now it's like, I want to believe Hillary killed those children and drank their blood. And you're like, do you want to believe that?
You?
Why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to believe about anyone.
Yeah.
So I think by being someone who says, I'll listen to evidence, but I'm not going to just believe it. You're going to have to like present evidence, and I'll listen to other evidence to the contrary. That's not the critical thinking piece of America. I mean, it's gone to the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a fringe person if you're not sort of evolved in the tribalism that is our country.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always found it odd that like anybody in politics, they're like, I'm never going to change my mind on this.
No, right.
It's like, how would you not? Yeah. Like, you're not open to any of this?
One of my favorite, I'm sure I'll get the exact quote wrong, but I always remember Abraham Lincoln had this quote where someone kind of like called him on an issue and said like, weren't you like against that last year or something like that, probably about like slavery or something like that, and he was kind of like, well yeah, but I'd like to think I'm smarter today than I was yesterday.
Exactly.
Things change, you learn new things,
right?
And information evolves, and you know, you're
does anyone
person.
Go the opposite way? They're like, well, I'm dumber today and this is what I believe now.
Yeah, I I really appreciate this. And, you know, we've often said that comedians, as comedians, we come at conspiracies from a comedic point of view, which is obviously we're trying at times to find humor in things. But I also think that there is inherently in comedy, stand-up comedy particularly, a willingness to change, refine, because we stand up in front of people and say the same things night after night. Mm-hmm. And at times you're like, this isn't working.
Yeah, right? There's a very kind of math to it where you're like, I think this is very funny. You say it 10 times, it dies 10 times. I was wrong. There's no way to get around that. Yeah. Like, maybe I should think different about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you learn that, like, it's, you can be wrong and you can change how you do something and make it more right or stop doing it. And, you know, so there's a lot there that you can, I think that comedy lends itself to this, which I think, I don't think most people have. Now, in terms of this actual conspiracy that the moon is an engineered device, of all the crazy conspiracies, this is the one that I think is most compelling to me. And we talk about Occam's razor a lot, that like when I look at the conventional idea that somehow a foreign body crashed into the earth and that the earth and the moon were created from the same event, even though there's different age dating to their rocks, there's all these man-made or unnatural alloys that exist on the moon. There's this bell ringing, which has been documented, its size, its effect on the earth. All of it to me, when I think about that, like chance seems less likely to me than engineering. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then when I couple that with the recent disclosures by our government that there are unidentified aerial phenomena that we're not sure if these are terrestrial or extraterrestrial or advanced terrestrial beings, like it the moon part fits into this bigger narrative that we are not alone here on this planet, that we have had some interaction from some other creature, some intelligent life for the history of what we call humanity. Mm-hmm. And so that's just where like this one is really compelling to me that
And this almost seems like a conspiracy. It's like if you were teaching a class, this would be like 201 or 301. Because first you got to go like, there's probably life out there.
Yes,
you got to get people on that. And then you're like, okay, well, let me tell you about what they did with the moon.
Right.
Like it almost takes a couple levels.
Yeah. To get and then you get like the 701 and you're like, JFK was shot. But remember why? Because the moon base.
Right. So it's he was going to expose it.
He was.
That's one of the hypotheses, that he was going to go public
with UFO stuff. And that's why he was killed.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't because he was a bad golfer at all.
Yep. Shane, you got a final thought?
Yeah, my final thought. I think the moon is not man-made. No, I think it's not natural. That's what I want to say. It's not natural.
Artificial.
It's artificial. It's made by something other than a collision, because it doesn't make sense. Because you played marbles, we're old people, right? You hit a big body with another body, it flies off. It doesn't just stop outside the other marble. What is this, curling? It's not like that.
Yeah.
So I think something's going on.
using a broom to sweep that moon
to the right spot.
Yeah.
There are things on the moon. There's video of lights flashing on the moon. That's a legit phenomenon that has dated back to when they drew the moon through a telescope. They're like, I see lights on the moon. So that's a legit thing. So I don't know what's causing that. Something's doing that. A lot of astronauts, like you said, have said there's visitors, the visitors are back, there are things. I would like to think that the moon is, just a research station. I think a lot of the stuff that's coming out lately the New York Times article kicked it off. A lot of stuff that's come on down the line is saying we are not human in a sense. We were created by hybridization, and that sounds just legit crazy on its own. But if you think about not a race of people, whatever it be, brings the moon here, helps develop this planet, and we're just a scientific study, like, of course, the moon is a blind. It's like a deer blind. It's just some hunters in the wood just watching. You don't know they're there.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Okay.
It's like, we'll be close enough. We'll camouflage ourselves. They'll never know we're here.
So we're reality TV. The cameras are on the moon.
Yes, 100%. That's exactly it. You know, like if I had to sum it up in one line, that'd
right.
be it.
Okay.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts? What do you got?
I'm always a big believer of like, just because something's weird, that doesn't mean,
right.
It's it's weird that my girlfriend is attractive. That's weird, but that doesn't mean there is, you know, like a huge bunch of things. I'm like, a lot of things are weird. Sure, yeah. So like, yeah, a lot of those things are weird. But to me, I'm like, I need, and it's interesting. It was an interesting thing, but yeah. Like, you know, I'm not open to hearing more about it, but I'm like, yeah, weird shit happens. We live in a weird universe where weird shit happens.
Right. For sure.
And that's generally my takeaway from a lot of it.
Yeah. And have you done mushrooms ever?
No.
Okay. Well, that's probably our problem. We've done them and we're like, well, this shit's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the final thoughts. Before we go, where can our audience find you, follow you, see you do comedy?
Yeah, you got a new album, right?
Yes, I got an album. It's called Neil as an Armstrong.
Yes, perfect.
And it's on YouTube. You could listen to anywhere you listen to audio. I have a podcast about the Buffalo Bills, if you give a shit about that, or know anyone that gives a shit about that. It's called In the Hunt, and I'm on social media. I am Sean Murphy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
Super fun.
I would love to have you back on and do one of our sports conspiracies. I think we need to revisit is that the Super Bowl is rigged. That's what we talked about. And I think that as a sports fan and football fan, you would probably have a lot to offer to that. So we should definitely have you back for that.
Yeah, we've been covering, there's been some mysterious bets
that that's
best
right.
explained by time travelers. There's this theory.
Ooh, yeah, we should have had you do that one.
People are like betting things that are like, you know, like the halftime score where like it's like 29 points and someone will place a bet 10 minutes left and the team has 29 points and they don't score again for like 10 minutes. And we're like, who would bet that?
Yeah. Who would do
that? What a time traveler. So we'll have you back
on. Or drunk people. This seems like a good idea.
That's good. Well, this has been super fun. This is Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith. And this was
Sean Murphy.
Thank you so much,
Peace.
Sean.
Peace.